You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Pastor Twyman,
thank you for allowing me to stand here in your place. I think it's still morning. Nope, just today. Thank you. To the deacons, saints, family, friends, I greet you all in the matchless name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you have your Bibles or your confirmation tool, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to begin my reading at the 5th verse. Just a couple of verses, and I'm going to go down to the 8th verse. It reads, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." I want to speak to you from the subject, I need more Jesus. I won't speak for you. I'll allow you to decide that for yourself. But as for me, I need more Jesus. Just as some of you want more money, more money, more money, I want more Jesus, more Jesus, more Jesus. I believe Sister Herbert goes to bed at night and dream up ways to spend more money, more money, more money. I go to bed at night practicing different ways to say no money, no money, no money. She has now started praying that I get more Jesus. It stands to reason that the more Jesus you get, the more giving you become. Church records indicate that I'm not the only one need more Jesus. Some of you could use some more Jesus too. In fact, I believe that all of us could use more Jesus to help us along our way. And I want to be clear. John writes in the 10th chapter of his book, around the 30th verse, Jesus saying, "I and my Father are one." In the 14th chapter of that same book, and the 16th verse, we read Jesus saying, "I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." In the 17th verse, it says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. We serve a triune God. He, the Holy Spirit, is equal in every way with God the Father and God the Son. They are one. So again, I say, I need more Jesus. I was reading a t-shirt on a fellow coworker that said, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. I wonder how many of you will admit to the same. Did you notice I said how many of you will admit to the same? I didn't say how many of you do the same. I said how many of you will admit it. I believe that every one of us here that love Jesus, if you are honest with yourself, you can say, I love Jesus, but you add the rest. James writes in his book, in the 5th chapter, in the 16th verse, he says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We don't confess to one another because we know you're not going to pray, you're just going to talk about me. But John in his book writes, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But he goes on to write, in the 9th verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And just so you don't think that he's trying to give you a way out to sin, he says in the 2nd chapter, my little children, these things I write to you that you sin not. But, he didn't say but. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. You might as well be, but, huh? With the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. When I think about my coworker, I'm glad that I read on his t-shirt that he loved Jesus. Had I not read it, I never would have known. But I don't really wear t-shirts to work myself. But it was one of those unusually hot 90 plus summer days. So I wore my t-shirt. My desire was to start a conversation so that would lead me to share the gospel. So I wore my t-shirt. It read, one, then it had a picture of a cross, and it had the plus sign. It had a picture of three nails and the number three. It had the equal sign and the number four and the word given. And so it read, one cross plus three nails equal forgiven. And I told him, I called him, told him, I said, now this is an answer to your t-shirt. And that led to a conversation about Jesus. And now I know some of you saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost, people will not admit you commit sin to any sin. But first, I need to say to you that while you may be saved, if you are saved, you're sanctified. It's just, we set apart. And you may have been full of the Holy Ghost. But what I found out is that the problem with us, we have a tendency to leak. You may have been filled once upon a time, but we have that tendency to leak. Now, I'm reminded of my wife's car. She has a Jeep. We fill it up with air. And as long as she's active, driving a car, the tires maintain the proper pressure. But when it sits inactive for long periods of time, it loses pressure. Sometimes just the surrounding atmosphere causes it to lose pressure. Inactivity, surrounding atmosphere, cold weather, causes the loss. In a like fashion, when we are in an atmosphere that is cold to the Lord, and we are not active for the Lord, you may find that you need more Jesus. I have gotten into the vehicle and just drove it. Got it active and the light went off. Just driving caused the pressure to build up. What I'm saying is activity causes the pressure to build up. Hebrews, in the 10th chapter, the Hebrew writer writes in the 25th verse, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together in a manner as some has, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We assemble ourselves. We get built up to go work for the Lord. When we go out sharing the gospel, we are doing a great work for the Lord. Let me just share this. I barbecue sometime. And what I do is I get the coals. I put all the coals together. I light the coals. And once they're on fire, they're cooking. They're ready for cooking. But every once in a while, one or two of them coals will fall off to the side. When they fall off to the side, the glow leaves. They are no longer on fire. We are here to assemble ourselves. If just being assembled together can build up. Just recently, I was listening to one of the brothers here, and he began to discuss an incident he had on the road. The brother recalled the actions of the other drivers, and rather than get in his way, he allowed the other drivers to have their way. He zipped his lip and kept it moving. The work here was displaying the fruit. The Spirit obeyed. The Spirit spoke, and he obeyed. Brothers and sisters, I need more Jesus on the highways, on the byways. Road rage is on the rise. Drive-bys in our neighborhood is on the rise. We are starting to have just as many or more shootings on the road as we are in our neighborhoods. We need more Jesus. I need more Jesus. I need more Jesus on the road. I need more Jesus in our neighborhood. I need more Jesus on the job. One songwriter writes, I said, I got too mad, said too much, went too far, and almost cussed. James writes, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. He says, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, those things ought not be. The work is displaying the fruit. If you're full of the Spirit. If we're full of the Spirit. It's our job to display the Spirit. We must remember that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So why are we having such a problem? I believe it's because we leak. We leak. We need more people calling on Jesus. But nobody is getting saved by us just displaying the fruit. Displaying the fruit alone doesn't get anybody saved. The writer writes, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. But he asked a question. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We need more Christians sharing, proclaiming, and preaching the gospel. It's not just for professional preachers. We need Christians sharing with your brothers, your sisters, your uncles, your aunts, your co-workers. We need everybody. They tell me that we have an opioid epidemic. We have, the Christians ought to understand that we have an epidemic of unsaved folks in this world. We are at epidemic proportions. Help me, Jesus. We need you to realize that your loved ones, if they don't know Jesus, they're going to hell. Let me just pause here for a moment. I believe that sometimes we get so caught up telling Christians how they should live after salvation that we fail to consider the non-Christian. While I'm up here talking about more Jesus, I need to think about the person out there in our midst that have no Jesus. So let me just attend to them for one moment. The Bible says in Romans, the 3rd chapter and the 23rd verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us, if you don't know Jesus, all of us was where you are today. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 6, the 23rd verse, is that the wages of sin is death. Because all of us sin, what all of us get for our sins is death. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We believed what the Bible said and accepted God's gift. The Bible goes on to say that God demonstrated or he commended his love towards us while we were sinners. Christ died for us. It wasn't because of nothing we did. The Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It wasn't because we so good. It's because God loves us and he loves you too. And he goes on to say that if thou would confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and would believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God looks on the heart. He said, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now I know you're not good enough. And I know you don't deserve to be saved. But the same was true with all of us. The Bible says that for by grace we're saved through faith and not of ourselves. The Bible says that God, just because he showed us favor, same favor he'll show you. He showed us favor. We call it unmerited favor. God showed us favor. He said, and just by, and we are saved by faith because we believe what the Bible says about Jesus and have asked Jesus to come into our heart and live. And the same can happen to you. It's a gift from God. We didn't do anything special. The Bible says it's not by works, lest any man should boast. I encourage you at the end of this sermon that you come give the pastor your hand, but give Jesus your heart. Now, with all that, with all that's going on outside the church, do we want the problems of the world inside the church? Huh? With the way politicians talk about each other. Infighting, political infighting for position, backstand. This is a normal way of life. It's a doggy dog world. But what about the church? It's to the church that the Apostle Paul writes this letter. Paul the Apostle writes what I call a love letter to the church in Philippi. It seems that this church was closer to Paul than any of the other churches. Their love for him and his love for them is evident throughout the letter. They cared for the apostle while he was on his missionary journeys. He allowed them to help him, to send him gifts. Now, you can't accept money from everybody. But Apostle Paul knew their heart. He knew their heart was right. And he allowed them to help him on his missionary journey. Sometimes I think of this letter as a letter from a father who is away on a journey, a business trip. Father don't know exactly when he's coming back. He knows that he has raised his family well. It seems from most reports that he has done well, and they are doing well for the most part. Unlike some of the other families, other family members in other parts of the world, there is no major discords in this family in Philippi. There is no doctrinal issues to correct. The use of spiritual gifts seem to be in check. But there is a small little problem. A couple of his daughters, and I'm going to pronounce their name, Eunice and Synergy, has a little problem that could blow up if it's not addressed right away. Just a small problem, but it could turn into a big problem. Chapter 2 in this book begins by urging the church to act in such a way that would promote the peace and unity in the body of Christ. The first four verses in chapter 2 is a call for unity of the spirit. This can only be done when humility is being practiced. It's the only way we can have unity of the spirit, peace in the body of Christ, is when humility is being practiced. Where there is no humility, there is no meekness and forbearance. And without that, unity cannot be maintained. Like Christ, we should have a servant's attitude, serving God out of love, and out of love for God and for others, and not out of guilt and fear. Paul writes to the Ephesians church with lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing, one another in love. This is the mind of Christ. That's the mind of Christ. It's in this, in the reading of this letter, that I realize that I need more Jesus. Paul, the apostle, sets the bar high. He knows that unbelievers can't reach it. Jesus is our example. For we are to follow him. His attitude should be reproduced in us. It ought to be reproduced in the minds of his followers. We need the power of Christ. We cannot do it alone. We need the power of Christ in order to become more like Christ. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, set aside his right to glory, humbled himself, came down to earth, still God, submitted to the Father's will, limited his powers, gave up his rights, left heaven. Can you think of all the glory that's in heaven? Left heaven, heaven's glory for us. Many of you won't even go back to the old neighborhood. We done got to where we don't even want to see the old neighborhood no more. Can you think about this? Jesus was in glory, came down from glory, and down here to be with us. Like Christ, we should think of others rather than just ourselves. That's having the mind of Christ. That's having the mind of Christ. But I was looking in the fourth chapter of Luke. And Luke's opened up the fourth chapter saying, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned to Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, when Jesus got to the wilderness, he was tempted by Satan. He fought off Satan with Satan misquoting the scripture. He fought off Satan with scripture. And after being tempted by Satan, Jesus, God, the God-man, did not sin. But it's long about the 18th verse. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And so I said, how you know Jesus? And he said, because it has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. It has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. It's the gospel, brothers and sisters, that heals the broken heart. It's the gospel that delivers those who are held captive by Satan. It's the gospel that opened the eyes of sinners so they'll know that Jesus is Lord. It's the gospel that sets us free from the power of sin and Satan. I heard Jesus say in the 10th chapter of Luke that the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye then, therefore, to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth more laborers, send forth laborers into the harvest. Brothers and sisters, Jesus did not try to hold his position in heaven. He willingly came down through 42 generations, born of a virgin, walked the earth 33 years, healed the sick, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, and turned water into wine. Jesus, being found and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine, didn't stay dead, rose again on the third day with all power in heaven in his hand. Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, told me I heard him say that the Holy Spirit will testify of me. If you got the Holy Ghost, you ought to testify of Jesus. God bless you. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.